From the Hill Country of Texas, this is One Radio Network. And a very pleasant good evening to you. Welcome. And this is One Radio Network. .com. It would be a Thursday evening, March 19th, 2009. And this is Patrick Timpone. And you do have One Radio Network. Good to have you here. We're going to have fun tonight. We're going to travel up to Long Island, like in Long Island tea, and talk with Rich Stasel. And Rich is an interesting man. He's been doing this for well over 20 years. Chinese health kind of ideas with Qigong and breathing exercises and nutrition. His website is ChineseHealthAndFitness.com. And it's good to have you back. Rich, how are you?
Thank you. I'm very good. Patrick, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Great to be back.
What are things, what's going on in Long Island, New York?
Oh, well, you know, about the same as the rest of the country, unfortunately. The economy and all the rest of that bad stuff happening at the moment, but we're hanging in there.
A lot of folks talking about this thing they call the economy, Rich, up there?
Yeah, definitely. Long Island is a little bit isolated in its own right because we have an economy that's very small business oriented. So in that sense, it's always been a little bit more of a recession-proof economy, but it is definitely having a larger impact than it has had in previous times.
Uh-huh. I guess there is plenty of an industrial base up there, and if manufacturing is down, I guess that could slow things down.
Yeah, well, there used to be more. A lot of it moved off the island to other locations, and then, of course, eventually overseas. But a lot of smaller businesses here that, again, kind of keep the economy a little higher than normal. The unemployment's typically lower when we have other recessions, and, you know, the numbers are a bit better. But this time, again, it is having a heavier impact along with the rest of the country, unfortunately.
And how does Rich Stasel spend his time these days during the day? What kind of days do you have?
Oh, it's a mix of doing my usual work in network engineering and, you know, some working on my next video, training, teaching, spending time with the family, my daughter, teaching her and so forth, doing my reading and continuing research and education, analysis, practicing all aspects of the Chinese Kung Fu, the Qigong, meditation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds like a lot to keep you busy there.
Yeah, yeah. I always keep myself busy in one form or another, so I'm pretty much never bored.
And what stimulated your interest in the eastern area, this Chinese and Kung Fu and these kinds of things?
Well, I always had an interest in the arts as a kid growing up. And when I was in ninth grade, I was fortunate enough to run into a friend who had been practicing Chinese Kung Fu, some of the real old stuff, for about 10 years. He started it as a kid, so he was already doing it. Doing it about 8 years at the time, because we were only 14 at the time. Uh-huh. And he started me off a little bit for a few months, and then I knew, within myself, I knew I wasn't fully ready to commit to it. And I explained that to him, which he was appreciative of. And about a year and a half later, when I was 16, I asked him, I said, you know, I would like to continue training if the offer's still available, which he said, yeah, absolutely. And basically, I've been training ever since, and that's now 25 years ago.
Wow.
And from there, part of Eastern martial arts, especially the Shaolin-based arts, is you learn a lot about healing, and you learn a lot about herbs and self-healing, whether it's using breathing, acupuncture, acupressure, and again, the various herbs and many other techniques. There are whole branches of medicine in Shaolin arts that actually have no equivalent anywhere else in the world. Even the way that they set bones and they heal broken bones is actually quite different from what they do in other countries and other cultures around the world. So it's, again, that natural approach, whether it's dealing with using herbs or using natural foods and so forth, using the mind, or even the way, again, that they do the physical aspect is quite different.
And what word were you using there a moment ago about arts, right before arts? You said
Shaolin.
Yeah. What word? How are you spelling that?
It's S-H-A-O-L-I-N.
S-H-A-O-L-I-N.
Right.
And what does that mean?
Shaolin is one of the mountains in China where it was one of the major Buddhist monasteries, and it's one of the first ones that really began to incorporate the martial arts into their daily regimen. Originally, they learned the arts strictly for defense of the temple. And later when Da Mao, who was an Indian Buddhist prince, came and traveled to the temple to teach his version of Buddhism, he discovered that the monks were not physically strong because they were practicing nothing but sitting meditation in the temple. So he went to a cave and meditated for 9 years, and when he came out, he wrote a book called the I Jin Ching. And this is a book that had numerous physical breathing exercise techniques, postures also, or forms, and one of the main ones has 12 different hand positions in coordination with the breathing and the mind. And this was basically to keep the monks strong. It helped to strengthen their tendons and their joints so that they could endure the 10 to 12 hour meditation marathon sessions that they were doing. And so this helped them to balance the yin and the yang and the sitting meditation with the physical.
And these fellows would sit around. They would do 10 hours at a time.
Yeah. They would eventually meditate for hours, and the higher ones would meditate 10 to 12 hours at a time.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you stay awake? I mean, it seems to me that you just would fall asleep.
Well, you're right. And that's actually one of the difficulties when you're getting to higher levels of sitting meditation. You have to attain a state of what they call shining silently, where you build up enough concentration and focus to keep yourself from falling asleep, but at the same time your mind is in a very, very relaxed state to the point where the breathing rate slows down significantly, the heart rate slows down. So, and as a beginner, and for many, many months, you will fall asleep while you're doing it. You'll start to doze off. Your mind will drift.
Uh-huh.
But as you get better and the mind gets stronger, then you'll, again, learn to find that fine balance point to maintain consciousness while moving the energy around and keeping your mind in that neutral state.
Hmm. So do you do long periods of meditation yourself?
Yes, I've done up to about an hour and a half of strict sitting meditation and just moving the energy around continuously. And when you incorporate which is called the small circulation, with what's another technique called the grand circulation, I've done it for 2.5 hours at one interval to really get. And at this point, you're building up tremendous amounts of energy, physical strength, and really laying a solid foundation, framework, and foundation for true health and true longevity.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're sitting totally silent.
Right.
And what kinds of things do you do? Give us an idea what you mean when you say moving the energy around.
Sure. Well, in Chinese medicine and Chinese martial arts, meditation is a very broad term.
Mm-hmm.
And typically in the West, we think of meditation as, again, just sitting and kind of thinking of nothing.
Sure.
And that is one aspect of it in Chinese Qigong. But in order to get to that level, the first requirements are, of course, a calm, relaxed mind. And then you learn to focus your mind on the dantian, which is about 1.5 inches below the belly button, and that's the main area of qi in the body. The name dantian means qi ocean or sea of energy. And you learn to focus the mind there. This actually would be done, this first stage would be done for anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, actually, for 30 to 60 minutes per session. And you would build up a large amount of energy. Once that energy is built up...
Let me interrupt a second.
Sure.
Now, when you say you're focusing on that area around the stomach, mm-hmm. and you learn how to do this for whatever amount of time every day,
mm-hmm.
and you build up energy, you mean that the body just gets stronger, Rich? You feel more energetic? You feel like doing stuff? You feel like it just makes you feel better and stronger?
Not at first. When you're first building up the energy there, you're going to eventually, it will take on many sensations. You will start to feel heat. You may just start to feel a fuller feeling in the abdominal area, the lower abdomen. You could feel tingling sensations. It's almost like a mild electric charge, which is a sensation that I had when I began certain meditations years ago. These are all positive signs and signs that you are indeed building up greater and greater amounts of chi or life force. At this point, you won't necessarily feel energetic. You will feel good, though. You will definitely feel good, relaxed, calm. And at a higher level, when you do get the energy to flow throughout the body, just practicing that can actually increase your physical strength, your endurance, your overall vitality, and certainly, again, the healing response and the immunity boost is going to be just as significant, which is where all these techniques come into play in terms of health, longevity, healing, and overcoming disease and illness and so forth.
Why does life force build when you're quiet, just focusing your energy on one area?
Well, you're getting the mind directly involved, and since the Dantian is the area where qi is mainly stored and begins to flow throughout the body, by focusing on this point, you are increasing the fire energy in here. You're actually building up what, as they term it, building up the fire, which is actually the official name of what you're doing when you're doing those that prerequisite to the meditation for that 4 to 6 week period generally. So in building up that fire energy, it's going to build the energy to a higher level, and then this energy is going to be used to flow around the main meridians of the small conception vessel and the governing vessel in the small circulation. So the conception vessel, that's going to run from the upper lip down or underneath into the coccyx bone, and the conception vessel runs from the coccyx bone up the spine, over the top of the head, and ends at the upper lip. So this vessel is the main pathway for meditation, and that's why I mentioned when in Chinese medicine, the Chinese Qigong, meditation doesn't just have the idea of simply blanking out the mind. It's really more you're moving qi. So meditation is a catch-all term, but it really is not accurately describing what you're doing when it comes to Qigong.
So when you say you're using your mind and you're focusing around the Dantian, then even though the mind is empty, and it's then your focus is still using our mind. That is what using the mind is, by focusing on something.
Right. This is part of what's called would be categorized as a one-pointed meditation technique, because you're actually focusing, as you correctly state, on one thing, that being visualizing the energy in the Dantian. When you build up this energy, which is classified as water qi, and you circulate this around the body in coordination with the breath, as it goes up over the top of the head, a little bit of the water goes into the brain. This is actually the beginning of cleansing the brain and really energizing the brain. So this is where concentration is important, because you have to consciously guide the qi at every stage. You don't want to lose concentration and be distracted. So this is why having a quiet area, not being distracted, and having solid concentration ability and control of your thoughts is really very critical. That's why there's a multi-week build-up to be able to do this, and because you definitely don't want to do it if you're not confident in your ability, you're not able to calm your mind down to a basic level, because it can have negative consequences if you do lose concentration at certain points in the meditation.
But you can actually, when you get practice at this, you can actually feel the energy or the qi, that you're moving it at will kind of around wherever you want it.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Definitely, definitely.
That's pretty cool. So I would assume you could use this for different healing things in the body, for digestion, sexuality, or whatever.
Anything, right? Anything that you want. When you get to that level and you continue to cultivate the qi and cultivate the energy, yeah, you can use it for any purpose, whether it's to slow your heart rate down, increase your physical strength, increase healing. And this energy literally makes your body tougher at the same time. And this ties right back into really into just physics and quantum physics, because, again, at a base level, all matter is really just energy frequencies operating in a very narrow band that make the energy appear to be in a solid to us and in another dimension, i.e. the third dimension. And this is what the Buddhists and the Shaolin monks and other cultures have learned as well. But none of them have studied it to the depth and to the degree that the Chinese have, in particular the martial artists, because the martial artists were a major contributing group in China and contributed a lot to Chinese medicine, to acupuncture, to herbs, and just the entire field of Chinese Qigong and Chinese medicine.
We're talking with Rich Stasel. His website is called ChineseHealthAndFitness.com. And he has a great video that I have that I've enjoyed, and where they have breathing techniques and exercises and a lot of cool things, meditation, some things on nutrition. And what's the name of the video, Rich?
It's Chinese Health and Fitness.
No, just Chinese Health and Fitness. Okay,
right.
Cool. And it's like, it's great. It's like $35. It's a great deal. And it's really jammed. It's how long is it?
3 hours. Just a little over
3 hours. Oh. Mine. That's a great deal.
Yes.
And you really go through a lot. I've been playing with the 8 silk breathing exercises and then some of the exercises as well. The 8 silk breathing thing is really interesting, how powerful those exercises are. And you're not moving quickly at all. It's just a slow motion and breathing in and out at particular times. And I noticed that you breathe out, we breathe out in these exercises when it would be more when you're going to do something that is requiring some resistance or strength. That's when we're breathing out. What's the idea behind that?
Right. Well, in this level, this pretty much a basic introductory level of breathing, you're breathing out. It's not so much like you would think in terms of physical, like weightlifting or physical straining, where you're breathing out on a power stroke. They discovered, for example, that when raising the arms above the head and exhaling, this causes chi to descend. So this is one of the simpler methods that they discovered. Because, for example, when you have a headache is caused by ascending fire chi. So the symptoms of ascending fire chi are headache, dizziness, nausea, and vomiting.
Hmm.
So anytime someone has those symptoms, this is caused, again, by too much chi up in the head. So one of the ways that they would learn to help alleviate that was to breathe out and raise the arms above the head for a couple of seconds, and then to gently inhale as you lower the arms back down. And practicing this, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 times, many people would notice a reduction in the headache or a complete alleviation of the symptoms.
Really?
And,
so,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so just there's folks probably that have these headaches are listening tonight. And, oh, by the way, folks, if you would like to join in, ask Rich Stasel a question, you can do that. 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. Knows a lot about Chinese medicine. His website, ChineseHealthAndFitness.com. Email, you can do that for the shy among you. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. That's one of the exercises on the 8 silk breathing exercises with when we do the arms over the head, and then you take the palms, and then you actually then breathe in when you bring it down towards the head, and then breathe out when you push them up.
Right.
And that's good for folks to alleviate headaches.
Right. That will definitely help to pull that energy back down. It'll bring it back into the dantian. And at the end of all the exercises, that's one of the reasons we focus back on the dantian, to take the energy that we've now built up in the body through the slow motion physical exercises and the deep breathing and a relaxed mind, and store it back in the dantian so that it doesn't dissipate back out into the air where we just helped to store it and collect it from.
So,
and once we put it back into the dantian, it will then generally within about 30 minutes get into the general energy flow of the body, and then your net overall amount of energy will then be increased.
Wow. So it's a very simple, easy way to energize yourself and without a lot of heavy lifting, so to speak.
Exactly. I've done, you know, over the time I've experimented with doing things, even the push-ups and weightlifting,
uh-huh.
and seeing which things really work the best for strength. And while doing weights once or twice a week, as I mentioned in the video, heavier weights can be good just to keep the tendons and the muscle fibers accustomed to lifting heavy weights.
Yeah.
The thing that really builds up the strength is the slow motion, the Tai Chi type exercises with the deep breathing and the concentrated mind. That's what really builds up that power and energy. And again, as I mentioned in the video, these exercises are similar to Tai Chi, but they're simpler because, as you stated, they are slow motion and they're just standing in basically two main foot positions, two main stances. And the exercise is simple to do. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to do the entire set if you're doing all 8 breaths, which is typically recommended for beginners, to build up the maximum amount of energy. And the amount of energy that's built up can be quite significant. And this is a solid foundation, because I noticed that when I do my eight silk breathing and then I meditate, I have greater progress, I have faster results, because I have more energy now to work with than if I just stick to meditation alone. And this is also what the Shaolin monks and the Buddhist monks who practice those exercises I mentioned also discovered as well.
I've not done it, but I think it would be fun to do your exercises, the eight silk breathing exercises, and then do a yoga session, which I enjoy on a regular basis. That might be fun too.
Yeah, you can do that. You can, just, as long as you give it about at least 15 minutes between the two, so that you don't use up all the energy that you just built up from eight silk breathing doing the yoga. Or what you could do is you could do the yoga first, because typically if you're going to do any something hard and soft, so like the yoga would be classified more hard compared to the eight silk breathing at least, you would do that first and then wait about 15 minutes to 20 minutes, then do the eight silk breathing, because in that sense the eight silk breathing would be like a cool down exercise at the same time.
So do you, are you, I'm getting the idea then that this thing that we call disease, whether it be involved with the kidneys or the livers or something, is it more just a lack of energy, or a part of it a lack of energy in that area, and that's what's going on?
Right. That's really what a lot, if not all of it, actually.
Really?
You know, that's what I've seen over the years as I've analyzed and I've read other people's works, and as the Chinese have known for millennia, really, that is essentially what it is, that it's all either a lack of energy, a lack of flow, an imbalance, or simple blockages in the energy pathways. And by building up a lot of energy, utilizing eight silk breathing, meditation, etc., and other qigong exercises with the mind, if you build up sufficient energy, you will eventually knock those blockages out. And once those blockages disappear, literally, symptoms can literally vanish overnight. You know, the energy vessels in the body are likened to rivers. And if you think of rivers with the water flowing through them, then if you think of a dam blocking up the river, the water is going to now collect behind the dam and eventually spill out and overflow. Well, in the body, if you have a blockage in a particular meridian and the energy is not flowing, whether it be the liver meridian, the kidney meridian, or any other meridian per se, that energy is going to now back up. And as the energy backs up and piles up, it's going to cause problems. It can cause things like even just physical problems with the muscles, because now the muscles have all this energy in a particular point and they'll continue to tighten up. And this is actually where a lot of back problems come in. My oldest brother had a back injury, and his spine was literally curved like an S. And he'd gone to chiropractors for years, and I knew where his injury was, and so I was able to just basically feel where his energy was blocked, and I pressed on one point. And about 5 minutes later, he noticed he felt something going out his foot into the floor. And I said, yeah, I said, that's the energy that's now moving. And he couldn't even turn his head. He was literally walking bent over to the side. And within about another 10 minutes, his back cracked all on its own. And all I'm doing is pressing one point. I'm not doing anything. He's standing up as I'm doing this. His back cracked. As the muscle relaxed, his back went into alignment. It cracked. And his neck was cracking as everything came back into alignment. And he couldn't believe it. He could feel the energy going out his foot into the floor. And finally, after about 20, 25 minutes of this, he could turn his head about 90%. He was not leaning anymore, and he says, what happened? I said, you have an injury, the site of an old injury, the energy keeps backing up there, right at this point, getting so much energy, it's hypertensing this muscle, and that's pulling your back out of alignment, causing you the pain. So pressing the point, no one's point to press, get the energy to flow, the muscle relaxes, your back goes back into alignment, problem solved.
Is that essentially what acupressure is, or...
Right.
And is that the idea behind that?
Right. That's exactly what I used on them. And, of course, this is just a simple example, but when it comes to more serious health issues, the blockages in a particular meridian, whether it be the lungs or the liver or a combination of several of them, particularly as, you know, I know that you're well aware of, and I talk about a lot, the kidneys, because any illness that is sufficiently chronic enough to cause real severe symptoms is going to have its root in the kidneys to some degree. The kidneys will always be involved to some degree because they're such a major organ of health and longevity, the most important organs after the heart, obviously, which is the thing keeping you alive on a second-by-second basis. The
kidneys are really important, huh?
Very important, yes. They have an overall regulatory effect on the entire system.
What are some of the things that we do as humans to to weaken the kidneys, and then we'll talk about some things to strengthen them up.
Well, there are unfortunately so many, from obviously the diet being some of the most major culprits.
What kind of foods that the kidneys don't like?
Actually, too much eggplant is known to weaken
eggplant,
the kidneys.
Eggplant, really?
Yeah. So if you eat that too often, that's known to weaken kidney chi. Any impure foods, anything that causes the kidney stress, well, obviously they're a filtering organ, so your sodas and a lot of your other alcohols is going to, of course, affect the liver and the kidneys, and the liver is certainly very critical as well. All the processed foods is going to absolutely have a negative impact on the entire system. The kidneys also have a lot to do with linking with the colon and the large, all the intestines as well, the lower parts of the abdomen area, which is called the lower burner in Chinese medicine. So that whole area down there, anything that affects that, that strains the elimination system, is going to also place a strain on the kidneys, since they are all deeply interwoven.
Mm-hmm. And the foods that are good for the kidneys?
Foods that are good, anything, any purifications, really. All foods that are going to cause purification of the blood system. Fasting is probably one of the best things, really, you can do for the kidneys, because, again, you give them a rest. We help to purge toxins from the system, and the more toxins that are out of the system, the less that the kidneys actually going to have to work. That's a major thing. Certainly drinking a lot of pure water, juicing as well, getting tons of enzymes and natural nutrients from your fruits and vegetable juices will certainly help to aid the kidneys in its function. I know that when I was juicing on a daily basis, I definitely had those times where you have feel the flushing effect going on, and there's after that there is a euphoric feeling, and you can feel it right in the kidneys, right in each organ. It was really quite amazing. You can certainly feel it throughout the entire body. It goes right up to the head. The head is just, you can feel the cleansing right up to the brain, and it just impacts the entire system.
And I've heard often that parsley is very good for the kidneys. Is that true?
Anything, yeah, all those herbs and foods that are really going to have that cleansing and filtering effect on the blood, like burdock root tea, which I mentioned in the video, is one of the most powerful blood cleansers, so certainly that's going to have an effect on the kidneys as well. I try not to focus too much on any specific food per se for the kidneys. I look at it as an overall thing by getting those herbs into the diet, certainly the fruits and vegetables, your real foods, you know, not processed foods. Like so many people, especially in the West, have been duped into thinking that food is what comes in a box or a package. That's not food at all. You know, that's processed junk foods, and they're not even really classified as foods because they're enzyme, nutrient, and energy dead products. So these things are going to have that massive strain upon the kidneys, and you want to keep that blood, keep the system as pure as possible. Enzymes are a major factor to that, because without the enzymes, the body is, first of all, taking up all its enzymes from the pancreas, and you're going to simply cause a lot of toxins and byproducts to be created in the digestion process, and a lot of the foods don't even properly digest anyway, which then further pollutes the blood, strains the kidneys, and hence we eventually get into problems.
Are there some particular exercises, that maybe one or something that you can talk about tonight about the kidneys, if folks want to just play around with that and get into this a little bit?
Well, in the eighth silk breathing exercise number 8, where you're basically reaching the hands up to the side and then bending the body forward while breathing out, that one directly works the kidneys very gently, because as you're leaning forward and you're standing up and then leaning forward, bending all the way down, you are gently compressing the kidneys, and this physical compression helps to flush out toxins and poisons. Then as you're straightening, as you come back up while you inhale, that physical working of the lower back muscles, again, is going to lead chi gently into the kidneys, and in coordination with the deep breathing, as you bring the arms down, we're going to energize those kidneys. Because when you practice deep breathing, even just sitting and practicing deep breathing, the first place that energy goes up after it's extracted from the lungs is it goes right into the kidneys.
Really?
So that's a simple way to directly strengthen the kidneys and build up chi in them directly, and of course that chi from there will go to the spleen, the liver, the heart, and then eventually into the dantian and the general flow throughout the entire body.
So that's number 8 in these 8 silk breathing exercises. So you're just standing with, is that in the horse stance?
That's the one where you're just standing in a natural stance,
and then you're bending over all the way and breathing in when you bend over.
Well, you're gonna bring the arms up to the side, and we're gonna inhale.
Yeah.
And very slowly, and then you're gonna bend the body forward, and you're gonna breathe out as you bend all the way down.
With the arms is stretched out.
Correct. The arms are gonna be straight.
You're breathing out, right?
Right. Breathe out all the way down. Then you're gonna bring the hands up over the top of the head as you gently, bring your body back up to a standing position as you inhale, and then exhale, raising, bringing the arms down to the side. Back to the original position.
Mm-hmm. And so kidneys really like that.
Yes, definitely. Very important exercise for the kidneys. Some of the other ones are gently, you can make fists with yourself and use your fist to gently tap the lower back. That tapping about anywhere from 100 to 200 times per session. Again, the tapping will help to break up any deposits that may happen to be in the kidneys. The vibrations will stimulate the adrenal glands that sit on top of the kidneys to release hormones, and again, the overall strengthening of it, of the organ itself. And this is true of any organ. You can tap the front, you can tap there is something called thymus tap, which is the gland that sits above the sternum. That's another major gland of immunity. So you tap that 100 to 200 times gently, and the vibrations increase the function of those particular glands and organs as well, right?
So you literally tap the kidneys.
Right, literally tapping the kidneys.
With your fist?
With the fist, you make a fist and use. If you make a fist while you're looking at it, you notice that the index finger makes what looks like a little eye.
Right.
And in Chinese Kung Fu, this is actually called the fist eye. So you would use that part, and on the lower back and on the sides of the kidneys, you would use that part to tap gently, again, 100 to 200 times. And this is something that's very effective at boosting overall immunity. And if you're sick, if you have the flu, cold, or just anything in general, it will begin to boost immunity and increase the overall energy of the system.
Simple as that. 150 or a couple hundred times, and you just tap it gently all around the kidney. I'm doing it right now while I'm talking.
Right.
So it's pretty easy to do. And it'll just boost the overall immunity in the system.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've never thought about the kidneys, Rich, as being that involved with the immune system.
Right. Well, that's something that's generally not really known in Western medicine. I know that recently on a lot of natural sites, there's the more common knowledge now that the intestines, like about 70 to 80% of your immune system is in your gut, as they say, with the acidophilus and your bacteria. But again, as I mentioned, the intestines, the small and large intestine, are linked directly or indirectly to the kidneys, and the kidneys have so much to do with that because they control the water functions of the body. And they house the adrenal glands and the purification systems. And actually, the kidneys are also even linked with the brain because in Chinese medicine, the kidneys control the bones. They control the bone marrow. And in Chinese medicine, the brain is considered equivalent to marrow because it's soft, fatty type tissue.
Really?
So this is why when the kidneys are strong, your thinking has a direct impact on your thinking. And together with the heart, the energy of the heart, which is fire energy, the water from the kidneys and the fire from the heart, those two mix together and actually form human consciousness.
Here's an email from Omar, and he is in California. Thanks for the email, Omar. He said, I enjoyed the show, and the last time you talked with Rich Stasel, you all talked about the sexuality, human sexuality, and some different books to read, and I wonder if you can expand more on that tonight, Omar. Thanks, Omar.
Okay, well, that's a broad topic.
Guys like sex, you know? What can I say? Good for Omar.
Absolutely. Well, continuing with the current train of thought, and I'll just weave it right into it.
Okay.
The kidneys house, as I mentioned, your adrenal glands, and they also house a lot of the sexual essence. And this is why, for men in particular, if there are too many emissions, especially as one gets older, if you have too much release of ejaculation, too many ejaculations, you will begin to drain your immune system, because what happens is the body uses the best essence of all of your organs, the liver and the kidneys in particular, to actually create sexual energy. And this energy goes down into the link with the prostate and with the testicles, and this is, of course, where the sperm is formed, and the energy is taken from the liver and from the kidneys. So if you're losing too much of those fluids, you are draining those two organs. And again, the liver has to do with the quality of your thinking, and the actual thinking energy comes from mainly from the kidneys, but also the spleen is even involved in that as well. Now, in Chinese medicine, the testicles are considered the external kidneys. So this tells you how directly the link-up is between the testicles and the kidneys themselves.
Hmm.
When a man loses his sperm, every guy knows you feel tired. In fact, in France, they call ejaculation the little death. The little death, yeah, because you feel like, whoa, you feel drained, feels like, you know, I got to take a nap.
Sure.
And that's exactly why. You're actually losing about 30 to 40% of your life force with each emission. And so if you don't take efforts to build up both the physical and the spiritual essence, the energy essence, between now and the next time you have an ejaculation, that's when you slowly deplete your energy reserves, and this, again, impacts the immune system. Now, the actual ejaculate fluid itself is the same fluid, cerebrospinal fluid, that travels up and down the spine and nourishes the brain.
Really?
Right. So this is now another reason why when you lose too much fluid, you will actually feel tired, because the brain is actually being drained of the actual fluid that it requires for its function. And there are a lot of neurotransmitters, and as well as the essence itself, the energy that the brain is using to perform its functions, that's being lost.
And I think that probably a good argument could be made for a lot of us when we were 21 years old and, you know, just did this with wild abandon, that you get a little stupid.
That's exactly right.
You really do.
Right. You know, the when you're young, you have your yang energy is abundant because the body is still growing. So sexual energy is kind of in overdrive. And as you mentioned, you know, that energy does tend to make a man a lot of times wild, reckless, and do a lot of stupid things. And then after 30, when the brain signals to the body, okay, it slows the metabolism down because the skeletal structure is now completely formed, there is a decrease in the amount of yang energy, which is why a lot of men, either if they're not into taking care of their health and working out and watching their diet, they will notice a weight gain after 30, and there's typically also a drop-off of overall sexual drive after 30 as well.
So this, but then it doesn't have to be like that, right? Because one can really gauge that and do things so that doesn't happen.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Again, breathing is one of the first things to really begin to recover the sexual potency, the sexual energy, and as well as overall vigor. Because the more you do it, you will definitely begin to notice that energy will begin to recover and sexual drive will begin to be restored. And you'll notice that when you do have emissions, it won't have anywhere near that draining effect that that you feel at this time, you know, depending on your age. Age has a lot to do with it, your level of activity, your diet. All these factors are definitely critical. If you're taking health and longevity herbs, ginseng, fo ti tiang, et cetera, that will also certainly help. Juicing helps a lot because you're getting a flood of vitamins and nutrients and enzymes. And in the sperm fluid itself, there is a lot of enzymes. There are nutrients as well in there, vitamin C, zinc. Those are some of the main ones to take to also help restore sexual vigor and vitality. But in Chinese medicine, it's said that, let's see, when a man is 20, you can ejaculate every other day. When a man is 30, it should be about every 3 days. When a man is in his 40s, it should be every 5 to 7 days. When you're in your 50s, it should be every 7 to 14 days. And they say over 60, a man should not ejaculate at all. But, of course, this is dependent upon health, energy, lifestyle, et cetera. There are some men in their 70s and 80s. Doesn't affect them. They can still do that.
Because biologically, they're probably in their 40s.
Right, exactly.
Just because they've taken care of themselves.
Correct.
Huh. That's really... So do you think that ginseng is good for guys or girls, too, on a regular basis?
Yeah, it is very good. I do take it myself, but you don't want to take it when you're too young. You want to probably wait till you're over 40, because that's when you really need it more, after there's that another slowdown in the metabolism. Because if you take it too young, you will actually build somewhat of a resistance to it. It won't have the same effect if you take it a lot when you're younger as opposed to when you get older. I know some guys in their 20s that take it, and they notice, like, you know, they're in college, and like, yeah, it does help me. I can concentrate better. It does help me stay awake. And I say, well, take it, you know, well, try to limit it as much as you can. And, you know, because if you take it too much now, wait, when you're done with college, I would stop taking it. Because when you get to be over 40 and you really need it more, it's not going to have the same impact as it does, as it would if you never took it at all at that point.
And then in the Chinese culture, do they take it regularly from 40 till death?
Yeah. It's very involved. It's really mixed in with a lot of the meals. That's why there's one of the popular dishes in China is called ginseng chicken. you know, so they would make
they put it right in the food.
Right in the food, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Just like you'd throw garlic on it, and they throw ginseng right on it there.
Ginseng chicken, that's great.
Yeah, mix it in with soups and everything else.
So Rich, if we go to the natural food store or online, we get an American or a white or a red Korean ginseng in capsules. Is that a reasonable way to take it? Is it valuable, or are they probably potent and good?
It will have some impact. You know, you want to try to get the ones that are as pure, as good as possible, as pure as possible. The popular ones are, like, say, the Korean ginseng. It's probably a little better than the American ginseng. Of course, anything that we're getting in a capsule is not going to be as good as the original thing. I mean, in China, the real ginseng, the powerful stuff, goes for $400 an ounce.
Wow.
So actually, that's an old figure. It's probably more like $600 or $700
an ounce.
Yeah.
That's the real deal.
That's the real deal, exactly. So obviously, we're not going to spend that kind of money on it.
No.
But I've taken it and I've noticed some impact from it. I know other people have taken it who are not even into any other health regimens or anything in regards to Chinese medicine or natural medicine, and they have noticed benefits from it. So if we use it as just one part of an overall regimen, incorporating proper nutrition, diet, exercise, and so forth, then I would say it probably does have value, especially being as it's typically not that expensive of a supplement to add to it. So
now I noticed on your website you mentioned enzymes. Are you speaking of enzymes from capsules in the form of digestive and or systemic enzymes, or enzymes from raw foods?
I am both enzymes,
okay,
really.
Both.
Certainly the raw foods, again, whether you're just eating the raw foods directly, or you're making them into smoothies, or you're juicing fruits and vegetables, those are certainly the optimum way, or it's specifically fermented foods, because in Chinese culture, they always had a lot of fermented foods, whether it was bean curd, fermented cabbage and so forth, which is one of the most potent forms mm-hmm. of getting the natural enzymes. Or, as I have mentioned, I do keep some of the store-bought type capsule enzymes with me in a little pack. I have one in my bag at work or whether in my car, and I do take those with every meal, even if I'm eating foods that are high in natural enzymatic content.
Even raw foods?
Yeah, even if I'm having raw foods, I'll still have some to, again, aid in digestion. You know, as much of the enzymes as you save and you take that strain off the pancreas and off of the other enzyme creation processes in the body, then you're going to have that much more enzymes to do house cleaning for your immune system, for cell regeneration, bone regeneration, to, you know, enzymes also travel around the body and they absorb viruses and tumors
mm-hmm.
and bacteria, and they help to get rid of cancer and so forth. So
do you take then also what we might call systemic enzymes in between meals, or do you just do them with the digestive enzymes, the amylase and the protease and the lipase and all of that?
I do take it between meals as well. That is something certainly good to do
mm-hmm.
On an empty stomach, so you're getting a direct boost of enzymes in the body, of course, and this way, if there's no food coming into the system that they have to work on digesting, it's that much more enzymes now that you have for all the other processes.
So they'll eat up a lot of stuff.
Yeah. The number one drain of enzymes on the body is the diet.
Cooked food.
Yeah.
Cooked food.
Processed foods and junk food is the number one drain of your enzymes. And this is why, you know, people who are trying to overcome illnesses, if they don't really clean up the diet to a massive degree and really get serious about that and take steps necessary to build up not only the enzymatic content but their energy content, they're not really going to overcome those illnesses, because enzymes contain a certain type of energy in them. And this actually is known now to contain the spark of life. It's very similar to ginseng. Ginseng is said to have an unknown vitamin in it, and they've dubbed it vitamin X, but they really don't know what it is.
Hmm.
They said that it releases a type of low-level radiation that, again, they don't understand, but it seems to have regenerated to like almost like a low-frequency radiation, similar to the low-frequency energies of the Earth, and this is known to have a regenerative effect on cells in the human body. And this is why they think that the ginseng and other herbs in this class have such a powerful healing effect on the body.
Do you eat a lot of raw foods yourself, Rich?
I try to eat as much as I possibly can. I don't eat as much as I'd like to or should. I myself had a bad diet growing up. So I do treat myself a little bit here and there, but I do have, I try to have at least 50% raw foods, whether it's carrots, grapes, apples, whether I'm juicing, even if I'm having some kind of a processed food, it's always minimally processed, and I'll always try to have some carrots and grapes and things along with the meal afterwards, since carrots are very good for cleansing and elimination. They have a lot of good enzymes in them as well, as do grapes. Grapes are a good source of a high level of high potency enzymes.
Well, you've studied this a lot. What's your opinion of the use of animal foods in the diet?
I do eat animal foods. I do mostly try to stick with your chicken, your organic chicken and fish and so forth. I really don't have red meat anymore. I've pretty much stayed away from it for a number of years. In Chinese medicine, the red meat is more yang energy, builds up more fire energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to avoid it. Obviously, if you're going to have it, organic is as best as possible, grass-fed and organic. Meat that you really know is grass-fed, of course, because a lot of them are saying grass-fed, and all these tricks. Well, they have access to it, but they didn't go out there, you know,
Let me interrupt for a second. Well, I thought fire would be preferable to many people to have that fire.
Well, obviously you need some fire in the body, otherwise we'd be dead, but you don't want to have too much. Typically, people, especially in this society with the junk foods and the stress, all these are fire-producing
they're pretty much fired up already.
Right. Everybody's pretty much too much fire and too much yang, and especially if you have a disease or you're trying to overcome something, or you're just living on a normal lifestyle with living on the processed foods and so forth, the body is too yang, it's too fire. That's why the majority of research that Chinese doctors have done and martial artists and in Qigong practitioners have done over the millennia has been on ways to cool down the fire. And this is where the kidneys come into play, because the kidneys are the water organ. The stronger the water, the more it's going to cool down the fire.
So if one eats a natural diet, raw foods or whatever, then we don't have that much fire in general. It's more the processed foods that fire things up. Sugar, I guess?
Right. Well, sugar, certainly, yeah, that's going to be an acid-causing substance to have in the body, which is going to cause more fire energy. Like it weakens the immune system, so it has a double whammy. It's going to cause fire directly, and by putting a greater strain on the kidneys, it's going to weaken the amount of water that's available to cool down the fire of the body, and then fire flares up even more, which, again, is how we get the headaches. Fire energy ascending to the head.
And speaking of water, here's an email from Val in Pennsylvania. How much water does Rich recommend to drink daily for overall health?
It all depends on one's level of activity, obviously, that the season as well. If it's in the summer, we're going to drink more water than in the winter. If you're doing something physical exertion, if it's heavy physical exertion, the muscles are about 70% water, so they're going to require more water, so you're going to have more. But typically, let's say it's just a normal temperature and you're not doing anything too much physical, probably about half a gallon a day to maybe three-quarters of a gallon, depending on body weight and so forth. One of the best ways to determine that is to gauge the color of the urine. If the urine is very yellow, you know that you're typically water deficient. If it's close to being a light yellow or white, then you know you have enough or maybe even a little too much.
And I would suppose, too, Rich, then it would also depend on how what is your percentage of raw foods in the diet as far as water. I guess more raw, the less actual water one would need, huh?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, a lot of people notice that when they started to eat more of the raw foods that they never originally never thirsty. They never had to really drink anything because if you've ever juiced celery, for example, is one. When you put a few stalks of celery in the juicer, it just floods out of it. It just comes out like a spout of the amount of water that comes out of celery is amazing. So if you just have a couple of stalks of celery and some carrots typically have a good amount of water in them, you're certainly going to get a lot of hydration in that right there. So.
Now, oftentimes, through the years in Chinese medicine, I've heard this idea of a dampness in the spleen or the kidneys, and that's not other than the best. Is there a danger of doing that with too much raw food for some people if they don't really know what's going on in their body?
Well, if too much of anything, yeah. I mean, even they talk about if you drink too much water, it can actually cause death because you're diluting the salt content of the body to such a degree that it actually will cause, you can actually die from it. Typically, that's drinking several gallons at a time and in like kind of a rush where it's just too much for the body to process. I've not heard of it necessarily occurring with too much raw foods because in the process of digestion, there is some of the water is being utilized in the act of digestion. But like with anything, when it's new, you want to give the body time to slowly adapt and adjust. Any changes in the body and the diet that occur too fast can cause actually upsetness. You know, people who go from a processed food diet to a raw food diet too quickly, they will actually get sick because it's just too much of a change at one time for the body. The body needs time to adapt and adjust.
Do you still do work with Natural News?
Yes, I'm still writing for Natural News. I am almost finished with a series of articles called The Six Healing Sounds I introduced. I realized this was something that probably almost nobody had ever really heard of, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the series. And this is a set of healing sounds and breathing techniques that you can use to purge the fire energies from each specific organ of the body. And it's a very, very powerful technique. Sounds are very important in both healing and in the martial arts. We use sounds for different reasons. There are sounds for power, sounds for strength, there are sounds for healing, even to control and eliminate fear if you're going into battle. And so this is where these really come from. They're taken along the same lines. But the Chinese discovered that when somebody was sick, it didn't matter what illness they had, when they diagnosed it using pulse diagnosis and other techniques, and they determined it was always in the same organ. So let's say they determined that, okay, these five people have five different illnesses, but they're all rooted in the liver. They all made a very similar or the same sound of distress.
Really?
So the type of moan that they made or sounds was always the same. And then from the observation of animals in battle and animals when they're sick, they noticed that animals would make certain sounds, like you think of like a cat purring. It's now known that the reason a cat's purring is they're actually helping to purge impure energies from their body and from their system.
I've heard that it's actually their way of staying well.
Right, exactly. So the Chinese, being astute observers of nature and believing in the inherent wisdom of nature, took this and then applied it to the human body, and they noticed, okay, you have a problem with the kidneys. Make this sound 36 times, and they would do it, and the person would notice relief. And when they kept practicing this technique along with certain visualizations, the illness would disappear.
That's really cool. Now, how do you describe these sounds in text on Natural News, and how can we see this series or learn these sounds?
Well, if you go to naturalnews.com, you can just type in the six healing sounds, and the first four articles are on there. I actually have the fifth one, which I have yet to submit for publication yet. I'm still refining a little bit of that one. So there are four of them on there right now. And the sounds are very simple. Like the one for the first one for the lungs is just an S sound, so it sounds like a snake. Very simple. You would do that with the deep breathing, and the other steps are right in the article there. So you would take a deep breath and very gently, even what they call sub-audibly, where you even can do it without actually making the sound, you would just make that sound just like a snake, just like I just did it. Will begin to purge the lungs of excess fire chi. With that particular sound, I've noticed that in the morning it's great to do it because after you're sleeping all night, you tend to shallow breathe. We all don't breathe deeply while we're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that this actually helps to wake me up. So I'll do this anywhere from 5 to 6 times, and it really just helps to wake you right up. Also notice that if I am ever driving late at night, it actually helps keep you awake as well. So that can be
interesting. So we can get that on naturalnews.com and just punch in their healing sounds.
Right. Punch in the six healing sounds in the search, and they should come right up.
Here's an email from Doho. What a great name that is. What does Rich think about running? I run barefoot a couple miles every other day, and I have developed a little pain in my right ankle. Anything that I can do to heal this? Well, first off, what do you think about running like that?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of running per se. It is hard on the body. I mean, he's not running very far, which is good. People have asked me that over the years, and I said, well, if you just love running and it's something you want to do, I mean, it is a great aerobic exercise. It can be great strengthening for the legs and the heart. But keeping it at a mile to 2 miles a few times a week is probably about the most I would recommend, again, because too much of that physical will have that draining effect on the entire system, which we typically want to avoid. So if you want to keep doing the running, then the amount that he's doing it is pretty good. As far as the ankle itself, aside from just giving yourself time to rest, making sure you do your stretching And a simple healing technique that we do in Chinese martial arts is practice breath holding. So what you can do is by simply taking a nice deep breath and holding your breath for about 5 seconds while keeping your mind on the part of the body you're trying to heal, you will hold energy into that part of the body.
Just by holding your breath.
Right, by holding your breath. So what's another variation of this, take a deep breath, and then you can breathe out about halfway or three-quarters of the way while thinking of the body part, and then hold the breath. So you're going to, as you're breathing out and you put your mind there, you're going to lead chi to that body part, and then the 3 to 5 second holding of the breath sort of like really amplifies the amount of chi that's there. And these techniques were discovered based on the iron body techniques of martial arts, as well as the tapping of the kidneys that I mentioned previously. They noticed that in tapping, when they worked on the iron body techniques, it did not only got them to an eventual level of iron body, it actually got them tremendous levels of health, endurance, immunity, right along with it.
That's really interesting you say that. My yoga teacher teaches us how the idea that we pick out, say, a particular area of the body or an organ that we'd like to work on, and that's kind of our area of interest during that one session, 45
right.
minutes. And then we can always focus on that when we're breathing in and out during the session, and that will help to heal that area.
That's
so that's
right.
the same kind of principle.
Yeah, see, there are a lot of similarities between
sure.
Yoga and Chinese medicine, Chinese martial arts.
They all borrow from each other, don't they?
Right, because of the cultural exchange. But again, in Chinese martial arts in particular, there was so much research done for the battle and for health, because you have to have tremendous endurance, tremendous energy, tremendous physical strength, tremendous power. These techniques were really researched, and then they were kept secret and only taught to select disciples over the millennia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we go, I know that at naturalnews.com and with Mike Adams at the helm of that, that you all are into a lot of research, and you alluded to it on your website, and I wanted to get your feelings before we leave here tonight about some of the things going on with the boys, we call them, the powers to be, and they're wanting to restrict our freedom with health. Tell us some of the things that you are learning. Are you concerned? And can this, I suppose, and with the breath and the chi and all that, this is something that nobody can take away from us.
Right. Well, not yet anyway.
They'll try, probably.
Well, they are actually trying now. You probably heard of the carbon taxes, and they want to put a tax on every breath you take and so forth. But what's great is...
Oh, every breath you take, they want a tax?
Yeah, eventually, they'll do it as a general tax just on life, and then, if you're breathing more, you're doing more working out, you're using more energy, so we're going to tax you more. this whole ridiculous...
These guys are out of control, man.
Yeah, exactly. But what's great is, and I thought about this, and I said, well, here's my counter. Well, the meditation and slow techniques that I'm practicing, 8-sub breathing, you're actually lowering your heart rate, and I'm taking less breaths. So
okay, we should get a refund then.
There you go. Refund or tax me less, But that is something I am concerned about. I'm definitely keeping an eye on those things and, through various websites. And, it's just ridiculous. And, of course, there is a whole other agenda here that goes outside the scope right now, but we're talking about, I'm sure you're aware of it.
Sure, sure.
A lot of these things that's going on.
And I'm concerned now with this whole food safety thing, and it's almost like they're using the salmonella thing for the peanuts to put in some, like the fellow from Kellogg's was on Capitol Hill today saying that we really need to have everybody that produces food have these strict testings and all that. And I know that there's a few bills out there in committee where they're suggesting, I don't think they'll ever get it there, but that even if one grows organic food at home, that you have to have some kind of test, of course. We wouldn't do it, we would just say no. But you know what I'm saying? It's really kind of strange.
Right. It's just ridiculous. They're using every excuse they can to go after organic farmers in the Midwest and people who are selling raw milk and, it's safety, safety. It's always under the guise of safety, whether it's food safety or national safety or safety from terrorists or whatever it is. You notice the pattern is always the same. And then you study world history, especially the history of the last 100 years, you'll see this is a classic technique that they use, this fear-mongering and scare tactics, because it works so well. And as long as they keep the people ignorant, most people will kind of buy into that whole belief.
Yeah, I think what it's called like the Hegelian dialectic, right? Where
exactly.
You create
correct.
The problem, and then you, listen, now we have this. We're going to solve
right.
this problem.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution, another
bizarre. Well, Rich, you are a joy to talk to. Thanks for spending some time with us, and I really recommend the video to folks. I'm enjoying that, and And I think it's very powerful, and it's something that you don't have to go out and break your butt. You know what I mean? It's cool.
Right.
And it's called the Chinese Health and Fitness video, and it's available at ChineseHealthandFitness.com. And then Google that, the six healing sounds on naturalnews.com, or not Google it, but put it in the search engine, because I want to check out those different sounds for the various organs. That sounds like something fun thing to play. I mean, as long as you're going to make sounds in the shower or something, you might as well make something that matters.
Right, definitely.
Rather than just go ugh or something.
Right, just singing in the shower, you can make the six sounds in the shower. And people have noticed who've done it, they definitely have felt a difference, though. They know it works.
That's great. It is called ChineseHealthandFitness.com. Rich Stasel, glad we spent some time with you. Thanks a lot, partner. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here again.
Yeah, our pleasure. Rich Stasel, good man. And it really is fun stuff that I've been playing around with. And I like it a lot because it does feel very, very strengthening. And once again, you don't have to go out and break a sweat. There's more and more people they're suggesting that all this great, vigorous kind of exercise that we somehow became so enamored with in this culture is other than the best for some people. But skinny kid like me probably is other than the best. I'm kind of hooked a bit on the rebounding, but I notice I have been doing less of that and more yoga and this kind of stuff that Rich teaches, for what that's worth. Well, we are talking to a lot of people, and why wait to see some of the people we have coming up for you on OneRadioNetwork.com. And thanks for joining us. I'm glad that I can spend some time with you every night, 7 o'clock Central Time. Pass on these links to everyone that you care about. And I will see you tomorrow night for Open Phone Friday. Got some really cool things to talk about. We'll feature a new product and just all kinds of great fun. 2 hours Friday night between 7 and 9 o'clock Central, Open Phone Friday. I love you all very much. My name is Patrick Timpone. See you tomorrow night. Take care of yourself. Know the Source on One Radio Network.